The podcast you're about to listen to is adult in nature, contains graphic situations. Please make sure that only those who choose to listen to these stories are listening. And thanks for taking care of others. Thanks for listening.
I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from edutainer and sex-positive event producer Dirty Lola. How's your week going? I'm going to leave this part of the show short because what I do with this podcast is try and make people feel good, try and make them feel like they have something to look forward to. And right now I don't have it in me. I'm so sorry. I learned of the death of a friend last night, possibly two friends. I'm waiting for confirmation on the other one. Old friends. My friend Casey was somebody who battled his health for years and years, and every time that he was right there at death's door, he came back the most spirited, willful, determined person. He was gonna live no matter what. You could not kill him. And he died last night. And I never thought that day would happen. And I'm having a hard time with it today. And I know this is not something you should have to listen to. We're all dealing with so much hardship right now. So much. The world is so heavy, and I don't want to add to it. But the thing I love about what I do is I get to be real, and I have to be real with you about this. So why don't I stop talking? Why don't I try and give you a story to listen to that makes you feel better? Let's just focus on that. That's going to make us all feel better. I always forget about my world and my life when I get to listen to a story and be someone else and listen to their adventure. And I think that's something the podcast can do really well right now, because we have some incredible stories that I can pull out of the vault and I can share with you. And this one is not even 2 weeks old. It was from our last live stream, and it was so good and so uplifting, and everybody was blown away by how powerful the message was. And I think we could all use that powerful message right now. So I'm going to go short on the Dixie Ramble this week, and I'm going to focus on doing my job. Thanks for listening, though. I appreciate you. Could you use something to brighten your life right now? I could, and I can tell you what works for me. The Body Storytelling live stream is an opportunity to come together, to see faces, to hear stories, to listen to music, and to feel like you're part of a community again. It's so hard to get that feeling when you get on a Zoom meeting with somebody, or when you watch some of the other stuff that's out there that isn't quite as engaging. We've worked really hard to make it feel like you're at a live body storytelling. There's exhibitionists, people who are panelists who show up in their drag finery or their fursona or any matter of fabulousness, so that you can feel like they're sitting there right next to you while you listen to stories and songs. It is a thing of beauty. I'm really proud of what we're creating. And I want to tell you about the next one, which is coming up this Saturday night, June 13th, which is at 7 p.m. Pacific, we are going to be doing the theme Bottoms Up. True stories of anal, comma, you got to put a comma there, anal, comma, drinking, comma, and or submission. Pick one or all. We have some phenomenal stories in this show. We have some true rock stars, some pervert royalty, and I really want to make sure that you're there for this show. In the early days of Bawdy, they used to call it Dixie's Living Room because I know a lot of amazing people who really didn't have a place to sit down and get comfortable and kind of tell that story, the one they love to tell, or the thing that just happened that blew their mind and they have to tell somebody. And that's kind of what this is. It's kind of an uncensored version of sitting around with people who feel like family, but they're not, because that would be weird, and just telling our uncensored stories. I have a story I've been trying to get for a long time from sex and relationship coach Marcia Bajinski. Marcia is an incredible businesswoman. She's one of the smartest people I've ever met. And that cleverness extends to the bedroom. And she is going to, for the very first time, tell a story that I've been begging her to tell. We have a story from, if you've ever seen Showgirls, she did a solo show of the character Nomi Malone from Showgirls. I was exhausted watching it. It was so good. It was so musical. It was like she can do anything. Naked or clothed, but naked is fun too. And she's a great storyteller. She has a new story for us for this one. We have the de facto king of East Bay polyamory of the San Francisco Bay Area, William Winters, who's going to be telling a story. And if I get my way, he'll let me announce something that he has in the works that is really exciting. And then get ready. Drum roll. Marty, can I have a drum roll? Thanks. Thanks. We have a story from Supernova of Kink, Midori. Midori is an old friend, a neighbor, and she is the sort of storyteller that you just become mesmerized by her voice. And we were story coaching on this story just like a couple of hours ago, and it was so good. This story is so good. It's so clever. It's so weird. It's such a peek inside her brain. And who doesn't want a peek inside an interesting person's brain? So, if you join us for the live stream, you will get to hear those stories. Plus, you'll have music by Rachel Lark. Oh my God. That's what's coming up on Saturday, June 13th. And I also want to tell you that we are doing a show for Pride, LGBTQIA. It's our celebration that is happening on Saturday, June 27th, so 2 weeks away. And so far, the lineup is holy. It's breaking my brain. It's so good. After like 10 years of trying, I have the most photographed nun in the world, the infamous Sister Roma of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Every time you've seen a picture of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, Sister Roma is probably who you're looking at. And I also have a story for the first time from drag queen jukebox Shishi LaRue. I'll have music by Shirley Gnome, and the rest of the lineup is shaping up to be a stellar show. So you can get tickets at bawdystorytelling.com. You can find them on our Twitter, our Facebook, our Instagram. And please help us spread the word about the shows if you could. One of the biggest problems I'm facing right now is that social media is shutting us down again. It happens. And if you were to just take the ticket link, or if you were to take the Facebook link, or wherever you find it, and retweet it, or share it, or go to the event and invite your friends. Facebook's currently limiting me to 49 people to invite to an event, and that is not good. It actually lets me invite 50. But one of those people is me. So if I go myself and say I'm going, I've already knocked my number down. And it's a ridiculously low number. So anything you can do to boost the signal, to help me get the word out right now when we're feeling really suppressed and it's really difficult to let people know about these live streams. We're working really hard on them. We're making them new and different and innovative and great. And I want people to watch them. I want people to feel uplifted because this is our opportunity to come together and empower each other and feel good. Join me in feeling good. I'll see you this Saturday night at the live stream. You know what feels good? Getting to talk about a product and a company that you love. And when that company sponsors you and likes what you do, you can feel even better about it. And that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Uberlube. Their products are top-notch, and I can talk from my own experience with Uberlube. It's lube that makes you feel good. Lube exists to make what feels good feel even better, and Uberlube really does that. If you're going to add to your magic moments, you want to make sure it's done with the most high quality, most body safe ingredients. And for that, nothing beats Uberlube. I'm going to tell you many of the ways that it does that, and you can pick the one that works for you. Uberlube is a luxurious, high-grade silicone lubricant made from clean, body-friendly ingredients. It's just silicone with a little vitamin E. The vitamin E leaves this velvety finish that actually moisturizes your skin. Here's my favorite one. It is great for all kinds of play. Vaginal, oral, anal. Aren't those three of your favorite words? People can use it in their hair, for frizzies, for chafing, for chub rub, under your breasts, between your thighs. I've had that. I know that works for that. Uberlube's for everyone. Thousands of doctors recommend Uberlube as their go-to solution for patients experiencing dryness. Uberlube's simple ingredient list makes it widely used for people with sensitivities to other lubricants. Uberlube lets you feel skin on skin. Lube's supposed to enhance touch, not overpower it, and it adds this thin layer that leads to just the right amount of slip while still allowing for skin-on-skin sensation. Uberlube's measured pumps allow you to dispense the perfect amount of product every time, even in the dark. Because you've done that in the dark, right? Handled the bottle of lube, not been able to find it. Lube gets like this stuff works great in the dark. You are in control of how long it lasts. Uberlube offers long-lasting performance when you want it. Then it quickly dissipates without leaving a sticky residue. It's kind of like a nice moisturizer when you're done. Many people say, I never knew lube could be this good. Users report loving the feel of it on their body and not feeling like they have to wash it off. There's no flavor and no scent. And it's free of nasty additives like parabens, preservatives, petrochemicals, other words that start with P. It stays on the surface of your skin and doesn't enter your bloodstream. Water-based lube can do that, and that seems pretty important. Uberlube is latex compatible, so it's safe and effective to use with condoms. It works under water. You can use it in the pool, in your bathtub. I love it in my bathtub. In lakes, it won't stain your clothing or your bedding, and spills can easily be cleaned up with detergent and water. And right now, they're offering Body Storytelling listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code DIXIE at uberlube.com. Just use the code Dixie at uberlube.com. Thank you to Uberlube for sponsoring the Body Storytelling Podcast. Uberlube lets you feel what you want to feel. Give it a try. It really is the best. Feels like it's time for a story, doesn't it? Well, let me tell you about this week's storyteller. Dirty Lola is a sex edutainer, speaker, and self-proclaimed dildo slinger. Known for her live sex ed Q&A show, Sex Ed A Go-Go, and as co-host of New York Magazine's The Cut's Sex Probs web series, Lola has spent almost a decade working to end stigma and shame surrounding sex and sexuality. Having started her journey sharing personal discoveries with polyamory and kink online, Lola now uses her knowledge, warm candor, and public platforms to teach the masses in person and to rapt internet audiences. Holy shit, that's so true.
This storyteller is Dirty Lola.
Oh my God, the pressure, the pressure. Okay. I love you, Dixie. All right. All right, let's get it. Shake it out, shake it out. All right. Hi, my name is Lola, and I'm a slut. I'm a queer, polyamorous, kinky, fucking slut. I've had so much fun in my life. There have been bathroom blowjobs. There have been back of cab finger bangs. I've had threesomes and orgies. And there was that one time where I fucked my sugar daddy in the afternoon. And then he paid for a cab to take me from his loft in Red Hook all the way up to the Bronx. If you know New York, you know that's a really long fucking way and about an $80, $90 cab ride. So I could fuck somebody else that night. So I've had a lot of fun. And it pains me to say that the last time I had sex was March 14th, 2020. Probably around like 9:45 p.m. it was a whole night. It was a whole night. But at least I can say it was fucking fantastic. John was everything you'd want out of your last fuck before the apocalypse. He was a British tattooed ad executive in his early 50s. Imagine Gary Oldman. Not Dracula. Not serious. No, no. Regular Gary Oldman. We'd connected on OkCupid and around Valentine's Day, and both of our schedules were really bonkers, so we weren't able to make a date until March 4th. In hindsight, that sounds risky, but at that point in pandemic land, we were being told that as long as you didn't have symptoms, it was totally fine to hang out with one another. So we did. We decided to meet in Carroll Gardens, Queens, at a bar called Barely Disfigured. It's a hipster bar that used to be a brothel. And we sat in the back of this dark, moody bar, still filled with people who didn't give a fuck that COVID-19 was coming to get us. And we were drinking craft cocktails with weird names like Dirty Old Man, that was him, and Harlot's Progress, that was me. And we were getting to know each other and chatting, and every time he said something cheeky, he'd lean in, but he like wouldn't touch me. And I'd thrust my tits out and I'd laugh and giggle, and my like flirt game was like on point, but he just was being such a fucking gentleman, it was annoying. And you know, by the end of the day, I had no idea if he was into me, because usually at that point, 3-4 drinks in, we're making out at the bar or somebody's fucking hand is up my skirt, and none of that was happening. So I was really fucking surprised when he slipped his hand around my waist as we exited the bar. And when we hit the sidewalk, he pulled me into this long, hard, hot fucking kiss. Memories. Give me a second. Okay, wait a minute. Okay. This gets hotter, but I'm having hot flashes. Okay. Okay. And when he pulled away, he said, I want to see you again. And next time I see you, I want to see more of you. So when I picked my jaw up off the ground, I said, yes, of course. And as we parted ways, he said, give me a text and let me know like when you want to see me. And I made it the entire 5 blocks to the F train and halfway down the staircase before I texted him to say, hey, are you free on 14th? And he was. Woo! So we've made a plan, and for March 14th. And I know 10 days feels like a very long time to wait to fuck somebody, but that week and a half was super fucking busy for me. I was still working my job at Chag. I was cat sitting that week. I had a date with a really hot woman. Memories. And I had lunch with friends, and I had to buy a bridesmaid's dress for a wedding that's no longer happening, and I had to go visit my pregnant sister in Connecticut. So much was happening, but I wanted to fuck this man. And on March 14th, the day of the date, there was a wedding. because my friends decided to throw a gorilla wedding in Long Island City in Hunters Point Park down by the water. So 30 of us gathered to watch our friends Billy and Shirin tie the knot, and it was fucking beautiful. And the reception was at a nearby mom and pop Italian restaurant, and it was one of those places where they have long tables and you eat family style, and we're drinking wine and talking to each other and sitting next to each other and hugging each other and looking at each other's faces and not wearing masks. And it was perfect. And my friends are super supportive of my sluttiness, so of course I tell them that after the wedding, I'm gonna go fuck somebody. So my friend Renee immediately is like, well, show me what he looks like. So I whip out my phone and I show her his OkCupid. And now I'm sitting there and I'm gushing about this man that I'm going to see, this beautiful British man. And I feel nervous. And I don't get nervous, like, you know, whatever. This is old hat. But I'm nervous because I realize, like, I'm into him. And not just his dick. I'm into him as a person. I really want to, like, hang out with him. So the night carries on, and around like 8 o'clock, everybody starts to make their way out. So I check my makeup one more time and call a Lyft, and I hug everybody goodbye. And maybe that wasn't the prudent thing to do, but right now hugging all of my friends goodbye feels like a really great idea because I'm still holding on to that memory. And as I climbed into the Lyft, my friend Trisha said, "Happy fucking." Because she's a supportive bitch, like you should be to the sluts in your life. And the Lyft ride to his house was only 10 minutes, but the whole time I'm fidgeting and I'm nervous and I'm like, oh my God. And I just like, what if he doesn't like me naked? And I never think that shit anymore, but I'm nervous. So I'm just having a whole moment. And I get to his place and I step out of the Lyft, say bye to the driver, take a deep breath, push the bell, fluff my tits, and I'm ready.
Yeah.
He buzzes me in, and he's standing at the top of the landing. You know, it's like a fucking movie. And he's wolf whistling as I walk up, and my tits are jiggling because I'm wearing a low-cut dress. And it's just like, okay, we got this. We can do this. And he welcomes me in, and then he takes my coat because it was still fucking cold, unlike it is now. And as he's taking my coat, I realize in one corner there's a pile of kitty litter, and in another there's a pyramid of toilet paper. And he must have seen me staring at it because he laughs and he's like, I'm preparing for the apocalypse. And I'm like, all right. And his apartment looked like any old bachelor pad, you know. It was like some furniture, not a lot, and then put a lot of art on the walls. And I think he had a Banksy over his bed. Pretty sure it was real. But who knows?
Wow.
I know, right? That ad money. So I'm walking around, and while I'm looking at the art, he puts on Portishead, because perverts do that thing. And now I feel like I'm in a 90s indie movie. And especially when he passes me wine and like one of those little like juice glasses and not a real wine glass, and a joint. And now I don't get high when I'm outside because I get really high. Like, high. I'm a lightweight. I've never built a tolerance for any drugs. And it's great because I'm a cheap date. So I, you know, I'm looking at it and I'm like, should I? And I'm like, fuck it. It's the end of the world. I take a few puffs. And then we go and we sit on the couch and we're talking to each other. And now the weed's starting to take hold because I'm a lightweight and it doesn't take long. And he sits back and then he just goes, "May I put my hand in your dress?" It was so fucking polite. Like, anything in a British accent sounds polite. Like, he could have said, "Can I fuck you in the ass?" And it would have sounded polite. And I would have said, "Yes." And he puts his hand in my dress and he's like massaging my chest and my nipples. And it was like he was sending a telegraph message to my clit. It was like, beep, 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 beep.
Oh my God.
And my body is like lighting up. And we're making out now, and it's just this whole thing, and I'm breathless, and my inner monologue is just like, bitch, what's going on? And I'm like, bitch, I don't know, but go with it. So he pulls back, and he's like, hey, I want you to take your dress off, strip for me. And you don't have to ask me to strip twice, especially if Portishead is playing. So I'm stripping out of my dress all slow and taking my panties with it and dropping the fabric to the floor and feeling all super sexy. And I realize, woo, bitch, you are hot. You are hot. And it's okay. And he leads me to his bedroom. I climb on the bed and I'm hoping I look sexy because I feel sexy, but you know, I'm also a clumsy bitch, so I might not look right, but whatever. I'm naked. It always looks right. And he comes in and like starts to undress and I'm just like, ooh. So now I can see like all the tattoos, and down one arm he has a sleeve of flowers, and over his left pec he had a Beatles tattoo, and there were more, but I was high and I don't remember, so you're not getting those descriptions. And he climbs into bed with me and we like start making out, and he's just on me, like on me. He's touching me, his hands, his lips, everything. And I feel like he's touching every part of my body except for my clit. And she is angry. She is mad. And she is screaming, bitch, use your words and tell him to come here. And I feel his hands slip lower. And then he touches my clit and it's so fucking light. And now I'm like, did I fucking show up to this house nervous, looking like a whole meal to get some light ass handed fingering? No, we did not. But while I'm in the middle of cursing him out in my head, a bolt of fucking pleasure runs through my body. And I am just, what the fuck? Because I can feel him touching me and it doesn't feel like my Hitachi, which is hanging behind me. It is the lightest touch, but I am convulsing and I am writhing and I am making noises that I maybe make, I don't know. And it is just fucking magic. And now I'm having a whole conversation in my head about what's going on. Whose clit is this? Because this is not normally what happens. Is this a new clit? Do you get this clit when you get high in public? If I would have known that, I would have done this a long time ago. But here I am. And then he slips two fingers inside of me. And he does that weird, soft, British guy, soft touch food in my fucking G-spot. And I levitate up off the bed and the fucking universe explodes between my thighs. And I am just a puddle of incoherent goo on his bed, and my eyes have been closed this whole time, and I'm trying to catch my breath and I'm just trying to come down, and when I open my eyes he's standing there with a glass of water because he's a gentleman. So I'm drinking the water, trying to, because I can't quite feel all my body, and I'm trying not to drool out the side of my mouth like you do when you get go to the dentist and you get a shot of Novocaine, and I'm trying to look sexy, but it wasn't, you know, working. And he sits on the end of the bed and he's fully naked and he just starts rolling more joints. I'm just like, okay. So now I'm sprawled out on his bed and I'm listening to Portishead and I've smoked some more and there's red wine and there's water. And I'm like, is this me at the end of the world? Is this what it's like during the apocalypse? I'll take it. I could do this. If this is the apocalypse, sign me the fuck up. I'm here for it. And I'm watching him and we're just talking about things, and we start talking about what else but the pandemic, and because that's what naked high people do, is you start talking about serious things when maybe it isn't the right time, but nobody gives a fuck because you're high. And I'm mid-sentence talking about community and social justice, and then his mouth is on my clit and I don't know what's going on anymore. Now, I'm not a fan of oral. It's not like the top of my list. I like it, but I don't love it. And I'll do it, but I'd rather you fuck me. But he wasn't just licking my clit. He was like doing some kind of sorcery. There was some shit happening. If his fingers were magic, his tongue was fucking Merlin. And I was just having a moment, because now I'm outside of my body looking at me and inside of my body going, bitch, what's going on? And everybody, all of me is trying to have a meeting because we don't know what's happening. And I'm having these little jolty orgasms. And now I've had these things before, like I've had rolling orgasms with a partner. And so I know what's going on, at least at that point. But I'm like, oh my God, how long is this going to go on? And it goes on for a long time. And I'm just like, oh my God. And then finally I have to push him off. And I'm like, I can't. I can't. I need you to stop. And I am just laying there twitching. And while I'm twitching and all cum drunk, I realize, like, I've been a very bad guest because I haven't touched his dick once. I didn't even bring wine, and now I'm not touching his dick, so we have to fix this. And he's now sitting on the end of the bed drinking wine, and maybe he was talking. I don't know, because I was other places on another astral plane having a conversation with myself about what the fuck we were going to do. So I just reach out and start fondling his dick, and then I slide onto the floor, and hopefully it was sexy and wasn't me falling off the bed and then getting up really quick, which I don't think that happened, but it could have. And now I'm sitting between his legs, and I got my hands wrapped around his cock, and I'm looking up at him, and I'm just panicking because I am high and I'm worried about my performance. And like, I'm a award-winning dick sucker. I spent 2 years honing my craft across the tri-state fucking area. Like, I know what I'm doing with a dick, but I'm high. And so I'm worried. But while all that's playing out in here, I'm looking at him and telling him how beautiful he is and how pretty his cock is. And it was very pretty because it's like average with a little extra, like that little extra just gags you just in the right way. Like, you know, so you get a little, you know, and you don't have to fake it. Like, that was his dick. So I just said, fuck it. And I go down and I'm in it and I'm doing all the things. I'm doing the tongue things. I'm the hurricane, the tornado twist, and I'm licking up and down and I'm playing with all the parts, the testicles, the, everything we're doing. I'm putting it all in. And I've decided that I've come so much, I don't even need penetration. So I'm like, he's going to come. Like, I'm making it happen. Fuck fucking. We don't even need, I've already been fucking. I've had too many orgasms, and this is it. This is what we're doing. And he's grabbing my hair because I had hair at the time. This is this is a quarantine haircut. And every time I hit the spot, like, he'd pull my hair and he'd groan, and I'm just, that's just pushing me on. Like, you're, that's cheering. Yay, do it. And he's trying to pull me off now, and he's like, stop, I want to fuck you, but I'm a brat and I'm not going to listen because I've already made up my mind what I'm going to do. So I just double down and I'm going, and he's just struggling, and I think he figures out that I'm not going to let go of his dick until he comes. And so now we're at a point where he's like, okay, where do you want me to come? And finally he's like, I pull back and I lift my tits, and he explodes all over, and it gets on my chin a little bit, and it's like the perfect amount of mess, and I love to be messy. So now I'm high and playing and cum, and it's a whole moment. And like a gentleman, he goes and he gets a warm rag, because only assholes bring you cold rags. And he cleans me up. And then we climb in his bed and we're cuddling and drinking some more and smoking some more, because Lord knows he rolled enough fucking joints. And we're just talking about everything, and he starts to get really vulnerable, and he's telling me how he's worried because he's over 50 and he's a smoker and he doesn't know if he's gonna make it. And that's a real fucking thought. And he's worried about his cats, and he's worried if anybody will notice if he's gone. And that sounds like a bummer, but it really fit our end of the world, last date, last person you're gonna fuck aesthetic that we had going on. And I realized, like, I've spent about 5 hours with this person wrapped up in weed and sex and red wine. And it was this really magical end of the world moment. And 3 a.m. rolls around and I need to get the fuck home because I had to work the next day. And so he helps me find my panties because they were somewhere. And he brings me a bottle of water because he's a gentleman. And he gets me all gathered up and we say our final goodbyes. And, you know, we kiss one more time and I walk away. And as I walk down the stairs, I wave and I get in my lift, and I don't know if I'm going to see him again. I have no idea when that would be, and it's really fucking sad. And that was the last time I fucked. And so now I'm 74 days into this whole thing, and I'm still struggling to navigate what that means for me and my sluttiness. I have a partner, but he lives on the West Coast, And honestly, I don't know if I feel comfortable about fucking someone who's a complete stranger during all of this. So what does that mean? Like, am I monogamous now? I don't want to go back. Can you still be a slut if you're not fucking anybody?
Yes.
I don't know, but while I was working on this story, I reached out to John. And he said we should try to figure out how we can make new memories. So, much like Hope, my sluttiness springs eternal. Yeah.
Sunlight hurts my eyes, and something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day. Instead of me, always seems to know the way. Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gone.
Is a song that I have been listening to a lot lately. That song was Lovely Day by Bill Withers. I want to say thank you to all the people who've been supporting us on Patreon. Being an artist or creator in 2020 is a dicey prospect. I don't think I'd have gone into this if I'd have known how it was all going to come out. And it's not over. We're still in the story. And we're still in the story thanks to you, people who are supporting us with a monthly subscription, who are members of our Patreon. If you'd like to make sure this podcast continues, I got another email this morning that said I just discovered this. Body Storytelling's podcast is the thing that is giving me hope and life right now. Please don't ever stop. And I don't want to ever stop. So if you'd like to help me not stop, go to patreon.com/body, B-A-W-D-Y. Anything you give helps so much. And one thing that I'm very proud of is our rewards are getting better. If you subscribe at the $10 a month or greater level, you get free tickets to the live stream. You get replays of the live stream and more. And, you know, the more support you can offer, the more grateful I'm going to be. But I'm grateful nonetheless. Thank you for helping Body to continue to exist. And thanks for supporting us on Patreon. We're at the end of the episode, and I want to say thank you. Thank you to the people who make this podcast possible. Thank you to podcast producer and live stream technical director Marty Garcia. Thank you to sound engineer David Grossoff, to video archivist Joe Moore. Thank you to you for listening and for telling your friends and for your emails and for the messages you send me. They really, really mean a lot. I don't always have the wherewithal to answer, but I read every single thing. And believe me, knowing you're out there, knowing you're listening, that's keeping me going right now, and I'm grateful. Before we go, I want to tell you about a podcast that is part of the podcast collective that we belong to. We are part of Pleasure Podcasts, which is a podcast collective that is spreading sex positivity. And one of those podcasts is the Shameless Sex Podcast. I'm a big fan of what they do, and here's a little bit about them.
Hi, I'm Amy.
And I'm April, and we're co-hosts of the Shameless Sex Podcast. We're going to answer the Pleasure Podcast question of the month. What is our number one sex tip for quarantine? It's simple, y'all. Create a daily pleasure practice, even if you're not feeling sexy or turned on. You got to make time to stay connected to your pleasure, even if it's only for a few minutes a day.
Sex toys are a great way to fast track your pleasure and get you there when you want it.
Want to learn more?
Become part of the Shameless Sex Revolution and check out the Shameless Sex Podcast. Ciao for now.